in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 now, verse number 11. Listen very carefully. God's word's important. Listen to it carefully. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, floodeth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Now again, remember the title of the message. When I studied journalism, they taught me three things. They said, first, tell people what you're going to say. Say it, then tell them what you say. I'm telling you again, I want to tell you what I'm going to say. Our message this morning has to do with flying with eagles. Now that may sound strange. Flying with eagles. Now first, I want to establish two things. First of all, the Lord himself is described as an eagle. Now he doesn't look like an eagle, but some of the characteristics and the attributes of an eagle he uses to liken unto himself. I want you to see that. I'll turn in my Bible to the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, chapter number 32, the Lord has something to say to us concerning this. I'll read it to you. Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 4. And the Lord is there describing himself as an eagle. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagles' wings and brought you unto myself. Now he's speaking, of course, to the children of Israel. And he says, just like an eagle takes the young, puts them on her pinions, that is the point between their wings, I've carried you. So the Lord likened himself unto eagles. Then I want you to see something else now in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. The Lord again likens not himself, but likens us unto eagles. And so the metaphor there is applicable then unto both of us. That is, unto the Lord and unto his Christians. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I want to liken this. I want you to see the analogy. I want you to see the likeness of an eagle with that both of the Lord and with that of ourselves, and then make the application of why we should be flying like eagles. Number one, an eagle matures her young by stirring up the nest. Now let me say it again. An eagle matures her young by stirring up the nest. You see, any time a person is born physically, there's a process of maturing. That is, he has to grow up. He doesn't always cry in a little thick bottle like a little baby in a crib. He grows up. He becomes a little boy if he's a man, and then he becomes a young man, then he becomes a man. That's the process. A girl, of course, the same process. But there is a point of maturing. Now, an eagle matures her young by stirring up the nest. That may sound strange, and I think it's very applicable to the Christian. For the Christian, you see, the nest of a newborn eagle is soft and cozy. You know, I looked up that word cozy. You've said, oh my, it's so nice and warm and cozy. Did you know that's a French word? It's the word that describes, have you ever opened up a bean, that is like a green bean, for example, any other kinds of apple, but we're perhaps a little more familiar with a green bean. Have you opened up a green bean before it had matured? Have you ever noticed a little soft lining inside of it? Protects that little tiny seed in its embryonic state. And then later, as it matures and the hot sun begins to dry the little lining away, then it gets full grown inside. But it's in its embryonic state, there is a little tiny fuzz inside that protects it. It insulates it, keeps it from the extreme heat, from the extreme cold, in case there's a frost. And the French word for that lining is cozy. Isn't that interesting? And this means protected. It means watched over. Now, the nest then of the eagle was very cozy. It was very comfortable. Why, the mother eagle, at first they'd make it with sticks, and that's certainly not comfortable. Sometimes they'd take mud or little bits of rocks and put in the crevices of it, and that's not comfortable. But they never intended for their young to be on that. Then they'd kill young animals and devour the food, but they'd take the soft fur. And they'd line that nest with the fur of little animals. What a soft, comfortable place it must have been. And so the little young eagle was there protected. It had a cozy, warm place. Now, beloved, the Lord likens this to the life of a Christian. For when a Christian is born again of the Spirit of God, he is a babe in Christ. And there's two verses of Scripture I want to establish in our minds. And first, I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, please, to 1 Peter, chapter number 2. 1 Peter, chapter number 2, and verse number 2. And the Lord says in 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse number 2, that's page 1312 in your Scofield Bibles, as newborn babes. Now, this is speaking of new Christians. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Did you know, I remember years ago, I actually studied under Dale Carnegie. And I remember how they taught us, and we had to stand before the class, and we had to go over a sentence, and the sentence was, "I never said he stole it." Now, that's a very simple sentence. Did you know I can change the meaning by my inflection? Now, listen to me. I never said he stole it. 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 You see, I've changed the meaning with my inflection. Now, beloved, it's true in the way that we say this. Now, what's the inflection in this verse? And if you're not careful, you'll misread it. Now, listen to what it says. As newborn babes. Now, watch what it's saying. As newborn babes. As newly born Christians. Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Now, it didn't say, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. It's set off in commas. Watch it. As newborn babes. Here's the instructions now to newborn babes. You're to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Why? That you may grow thereby. You can't grow as a Christian if you don't listen to the Word of God, and if the Word of God isn't presented to you in milk form, that is, in a way that you can understand. Doesn't care how much and how lofty the Word of God is. If it isn't brought down and put in a form that you can understand it, it won't do you any good. From the day God saved me, I said, "Lord, help me to preach in a way people can understand it." I've always believed if people would understand the Word of God, they'd love it and follow its precepts and so on. So God's admonition to the young Christian is, as newborn babes. Now here's your instruction. Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Be just like a little baby that wants its bottle. You need the Word of God. You need the simple, the simplicity of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. So the process of God is, as a newborn babe, while He knows that you have a need for milk, He wants you to have milk for one reason, not just to satisfy your desires, but to satisfy you that you may grow thereby. Now again, turn to another verse of Scripture and turn back in your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 5. Book of Hebrews, chapter 5, and verse number 11. Listen to what the Lord is saying. I think this is so important. Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 11. That's page 1295. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Now, the Apostle Paul, whom I believe to be the writer of the book of Hebrews, is saying, I've got a lot of things to say to you. But they're hard for me to say. That is, they're deep things. But you're hard of hearing. In other words, he's not talking about a physical impairment. He's talking about spiritually you're not listening. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk. Now there it is again. And not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I want you to get it in your mind. God does not condemn Christians for being babies. He said that as babies you ought to desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. God recognizes that there are young Christians. God recognizes and teaches us that we're to use the milk of the Word of God to help people to grow thereby. But I want you to see that the divine responsibility is not on the preacher or on the teacher. It's upon the Christian. You desire, you have a deep longing to study the Word of God that you may grow thereby. Now he says, watch now. His condemnation is not his people for being babies, but as remaining babies. He said, you ought to be teaching. You ought to be teaching other people. It doesn't necessarily mean in a Sunday school class, though it may include that. But he's saying, you ought to be instructing other people by the way that you live and by your testimony and by your advice and by your counsel. You ought to be teaching people. But instead of that, you still need the baby milk. You still need the baby food. You're still just an infant yourself. And God says you ought to be matured. Now, God makes a comfortable nest for His young Christians. God says, give them the milk. I wished I had time to go in what it meant. It literally means breastfeed them. Keep them very near to your heart. He's able to succor them. S-U-C-C-O-R. It literally means to breastfeed. He's able to breastfeed those who come unto Him. And the Lord says, I know that you're young Christians. I keep you comfortable. But there's a time when you need to grow up. There's a time when you need to be weaned off of milk. And you need to begin to feed on the meat of the Word of God. You don't take a little baby with no teeth and start feeding him meat. He's not ready for it. But you give him milk. And you let that little fellow alone, and it isn't long until he'll want to eat meat. And the normal process of a Christian is they'll eat, they'll drink milk from the Word, and then they'll desire the milk, the meat, that they may be strong and mature. I want you to see something. You see, therefore, I want you to understand God is likening Himself or using the eagle as a symbol, as an illustration. He says, look at the eagle. Why, they make a soft nest. They line it with fur. And those little eagles are in there, and they're as comfortable as they can be. But now watch, if you will. The nest of the maturing, there is a time of maturing, and that eagle seems to be born with a God-given knowledge of when. It looks and the feathers are coming out right. It looks like it's ready to fly, but that little eagle is just as satisfied in that nest as it could possibly be. It would be willing to spend the rest of its life because the mother goes out, does the hunting. She gets the food, she brings it in, lays it down in the nest. And the little baby eagle eats the food. It doesn't have to do a thing. And boy, it's set up for life, it thinks. It isn't that she's going to be hard on them now. It's that she wants something better for them to be babies all their lives. God is exactly the same way. Now watch what happened. Then the nest of the maturing young is stirred up. She comes in one day and I imagine she brings the food. And somehow that God-given instinct in the heart and the breast of that mother eagle knows. She takes those great big claws that are so strong she could easily grasp a rabbit, and with those talons she could go completely through it. And she takes that and she pushes one that she loves over out of the way, and she begins to stir up the nest. She rakes all the soft fur out. Can't you imagine how upset that little young eagle is? Can't understand it. Tries to find a place to lie down, but there's old sharp sticks now. And the mother begins to scatter it and stretch it out. And the young cries out, what are you doing to me? And the mother, because she loves it and because she knows there's something greater, there's something that little eagle was born to do, and there's something it had not yet learned to do, and she knew unless she took some drastic measures, that little eagle would be content to stay there the rest of its life and never fulfill what it had been brought into this world to do. And that is soar upon the morning sun, shining down upon its beak and upon its back as it soared over the lofty heights. God had intended it for that, and that mother knew that. And she said, I'm going to stir up the nest. Beloved, you read in the Word of God, you'll find where God is using for Israel. He said, just as an eagle stirreth up the nest. Israel, you remember, had been taken into captivity, had been in bondage for 400 years down in Egypt. They had become comfortable. They had lined their nest, so to speak. And had not God intervened just like an eagle does her young, the nation of Israel probably would have remained the rest of their time and still been captive in the bondage of Egypt. But God stirred up the nest, so to speak. And the Bible says, and there came a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. He changed their hours. He said, you're going to produce as many bricks. Lead them into the promised land. That's where God wanted the children of Israel. Not in bondage to the world. Not in bondage to a Pharaoh. But God wanted them in the land of promise. That's where He was going to give His Son. That's where His Son was going to be
reared, and that's where his son was going to die. Not in Egypt, but in the promised land, in the land that flowed with milk and honey. And they couldn't understand it. Why has all the persecution come our way? God in His love and His infinite wisdom was stirring up the nest. Abraham, whom we've been studying about in our Sunday school lesson, experienced the same thing. I don't doubt at all but that his nest was well lined, very comfortable, very cozy, there in the Ur of the Chaldeans. And God came one day and said, Abraham, I want you to get into a country that I shall show thee of. Get away from thy kindred. Get away from the place where you're living. Get away from your kinfolks into a land that I shall show thee of. God stirred up his nest. God kicked all the fur out of it. God tore it up and said, Abraham, you weren't born. You weren't here. I don't have a desire for you to stay here in this land that's worshiping idols. I'm going to get you into a land and I'm going to do great things with you that you know not now. But you'll know one day I'm going to make of thee a great nation. And God has done it. I want to mature you. I'm going to stir up your nest, Abraham. Get out to where I can show you. Oh, beloved, if you've never experienced this, how well do I remember in my own life, though I'm sure there might be many times of stirring up. And I was in school in Chattanooga, how God stirred up my nest, and how God broke me physically, and how God did all these things to get me to depend upon Him. I had a cozy nest, so to speak. I had a job, and I felt that I could do my job as well as anybody. I wasn't afraid of the financial side of it. I felt secure within myself. I was independent in my thinking. But God stirred up a nest. And God took all the coziness away so that I have to absolutely depend upon Him. You see, God had more for me than just doing what I was doing. And God never, never allows His children to remain babies. He'll always stir up our nest. And beloved, when the nest is being stirred up of the young eagles, or whether it's the young Christian, neither one of them understand it at the moment. Secondly, I want you to see an eagle matures her young by fluttering her wings. Did you notice that in the Scripture? As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, fluttereth over her young, fluttereth. You know, that's a very interesting thing. You know, I can see that great eagle. I can see her. She stands over that nest after she's torn it up, and that little eagle looking up is almost to say, I can't understand, Mother, what in the world are you doing to me? Oh, Mother, I'm comfortable. That was my favorite spot. You know, I like to be over the north side, and I like for the sun to hit me on it. Mother, I'm comfortable, and that's my place. The other eagles are over on it, but Mother, that's my place, and you've torn it up. And then she does something else. She stands up over the nest and takes those great wings and begins to beat them in unison and flutters over them. Why, they never seen that before. Fluttered her wings. They didn't look down at the sticks around them. They looked up at her. They had never seen her fluttering like that. Beloved, I want you to understand, she did it for this, I think. First, she did it to get their mind off of their uncomfortable position. I don't believe they thought about how uncomfortable they were when they were looking, because they were seeing a sight they'd never seen before. They looked up and saw that mother eagle fluttering her wings. Beloved, I'll tell you, the Lord many times when He scatters our nest and when He seems like tears up our coziness and breaks down everything that we desired in our lives. The Bible then says that the Lord is doing it for a very special purpose. I'll not wait for you, but I'll turn to the Gospel of Luke. Listen to me as I read chapter 21 and verse number 28. Chapter 21 and verse number 28. And when these things began to come to pass, He's talking about the troubled age in which we're living now. What are we to do? Walk around and wring our hands and feel sorry for ourselves and say, oh, what a wicked world this is, while all those things may be true. Listen what we're to do. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know, I've read that verse so many times, but I think I read over what He said. Two things He said. Look up, that is, lift up your eyes, then lift up your head. Did you know you can lift up your eyes without looking up your head? I can stand here now, watch me as I lift up my eyes. I can see the ceiling, but I haven't moved my head. Now, one of them seems to be a personal thing. In other words, not just in your heart, look up, but do it where everybody knows it. If I take my head and do it like that, everybody in here knows I'm looking up. I'm not just to look up with my eyes personally. I'm to look up with my head. That's publicly. I'm to let everybody know. Look up, look up, look up. You know the only hope we have in this world. Bless God, I'm not critical of any political denomination or group. I'm just saying there is no hope in politics. There's no hope in the United Nations. There's no hope in all of the peace talks that we have and the foreign wealth that we're giving away. There's no hope there. Beloved, for the born-again Christian, the Lord is fluttering His wings as He stirs up our nest. And He's saying, look up, lift up your eyes, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. He's saying, your redemption is not in the things of the world. Your redemption is not things that you can see down on the level of man. Your redemption is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift up your eyes, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I can imagine these little birds, they got their minds off of that rough nest. Beloved, you look up, and you'll get your mind off of the roughness of this world. I like that little chorus. The things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and love. Beloved, God wants us to look up at Him. Then, I want you to see this. Then number three, an eagle matures her young by spreading her wings. Listen again. An eagle, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth her wing over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings. I want you to see there what I believe that means. You see, that baby eagle can only remember that mother as she'd come in, as she'd come in gliding, and she'd fold those wings and she'd make a perfect landing. And they'd only seen their mother sitting there in the nest with their folded wings. Why, not great big at all. And they'd look at her and they'd think of her as someone. That's nice. Why, mother's not very big. She's not awesome. Why, look at her. She's just so kind, and she brings us food and she watches over us. But now, she reaches out and in there while she's fluttering those wings to get their attention. And she gets their attention for this reason. She stretches out those wings. And they say that a matured eagle can have a wingspread of 14 feet. That's awesome. Pull those wings together. I doubt if an eagle's even 12 inches wide. That is 1 foot. But spread those wings out 14 feet. Oh, think about it. And that little baby eagle says, I never saw mama like that before. I never knew mother had wings like that. Why, it must have been awesome. That little baby forgot all about that little fur lining. It forgot all about the comfort. The mother had fluttered her wings and gotten her attention. Then she revealed where in her power what was lying. She let him see those great big wings. Brother, she saw then, those little baby eagles saw the strength and the power of the parents. Brother, I think that's exactly what Isaiah is saying to us in Isaiah chapter 6 when he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. You know what he's saying? God scattered my nest. God fluttered His wings and got my attention. Then I saw Him. In essence, I saw Him as He spread out those great wings. I saw the power. I saw that which kept Him aloft when other birds were tired and gave up the battle. Oh, I saw Him as I've never seen Him before. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and mighty lifted up. And he goes on and describes it. I read in the Word of God about other men, about Job. One day, I think that he was like that. And the Lord allowed him to go through time of sickness. The Lord flooded his wings over him, and Job looked up and saw and understood that the Lord was getting his attention. Then he said something I think ties in perfectly with this. He said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of mine ear, but now I see thee with mine eye. Oh, he got a glimpse of the Lord and all of His power. Oh, I'm not talking about a vision. I'm not talking about anything that you could ever see. If you see it with your natural eye, you better believe me, it's not of God. God works by faith. It just simply means our concept of God is greater than it's ever been before. We see His mighty wings and, as David said, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty.
abiding under the shadow of His wings. Oh, what a safe place it really is. And beloved, the thing that He wanted them to see, she was spreading her wings and letting them know she had great power that they didn't know before. Baby Christians don't understand the magnitude of God. Baby Christians don't understand how great God is. That's why they walk by sight. And God doesn't want you to live like that. God's got something greater for you. And I want you to see this. Then an eagle matures her young by flying them. I've used some simple words. By stirring up, by fluttering, by spreading her wings, and now and last, by flying them. They're ready for something. She's ready, and she knows they're ready, but they don't think they're ready. And she takes them, and she gets them, and they probably learn to do it when she's playing with them in the nest. She folds those great wings and becomes the little body that they were accustomed to. Now you see many of you today thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ as just a little baby born in Bethlehem. Your whole Christmas will be about a baby born in Bethlehem. That's for little bitty baby Christians. But for the matured Christians, bless God, He's not a babe in a manger in Bethlehem. He's the King of kings and the Lords of lords. He's the fairest of 10,000, the bright in the morning star. He's the soon coming Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, Thou hast highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name, that at His name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Him as Lord to the glory of the Father. And beloved, when we see God like that, that's when we pass from milk unto meat. That's when we pass from the little baby talk unto adult talk. That's when we walk from the baby. We don't have to watch over them all the time. You have to watch over a baby all the time. Some churches, I feel, ought to build some spiritual playpens and just put their people in there and give them some spiritual play blocks. And that's not making fun of them. That's what you do with a baby. But babies ought to grow, and God wants you to grow. You see, God didn't create us just to live down here and root hog and die poor. God wants us to have supernatural power. And those little eagles didn't realize what they could do. And you and I don't realize what we can do. But God wants to teach her. Watch her now. And she works that little eagle up on her pinions. That's that spot right between those great big wings. 7 feet on either side. Just a little space. Just big enough for that little eagle. And she puts him on there. And she says, in essence, come on, honey. We're going for a ride. Oh, he said, I'd like that. Mama, I'd never been out there before. I've watched you. I've seen those big wings as they come in and you'd fold them. And now that I've seen those big wings, I'm not afraid. And that little eagle gets on and it sinks its little claws right in the feathers of the pinion. And that mother, I can see her, she gains altitude. They never fly less than, when they're training their young, I've read, less than 5,000 feet. Beloved, that's a long ways. That's nearly 1 mile. Mile's 5,280 feet. Nearly a mile high. And that little one that looked down, and can't you see maybe the fright? First time it's ever been airborne. And then suddenly, that mother gives a lurch, and that little baby's heart nearly stops, for the mother throws it off of her back. And that little bird feels like it's been deserted. It says, what in this world has happened? And then by instinct, it stretches out those little things that had been useless to it. And it stretches out what he later learns are his wings, and suddenly he catches the air and he begins to soar a little. In a few minutes he puts too much rudder on his side and it begins to stall and he's about to go, and that mother's a quack, and she's up underneath it, and that little baby is right on those pinions again. By then his heart just beating about as twice as fast as it ought to, and it says, I did something I never knew I could do before. I actually flew. And that time its mother lifts a little further. Maybe she gets to 5,500 feet this time. And about that time, she looks into the experienced eye. She sees a good thermal draft coming. And about that time, she drops. And that little baby's left alone again. And about that time, somehow it catches on. It isn't long until it spreads its own wings and it begins to fly. And it says, you know, I'm doing something I never believed in this world I could do. You know what had happened to it? It had matured. And beloved, God lifts us up, does He not? He brings us into places where we don't quite understand. And sometimes it looks like God's deserted us and left us alone. You know what He's wanting us to do? He's wanting you to spread your wings. He's wanting you to learn that you can fly. He's wanting you to learn that you can do something that you didn't know that you could do. You know, the early church in Jerusalem, my aunt's little nest was all feathered and it was all set up, and boy, they had members coming in. I mean, there was about more of them than there were people. I mean, they were everywhere. And but the trouble is they were just satisfied, and God scattered the nest, and God sent those people out, and they learned the greatest lesson. They got out there and they thought at first, can you see them? They said, I don't know why God let this happen. Our church was destroyed, and look at us. We've been sent. We've separated from our family and from our wealth and from everything. Here we are in another land. It looks like God's forsaken us. And somebody came up and said, I heard you as Christians. Yes, we are. Tell us what a Christian is. And they began to tell them. And they said, you know, I'd like to be a Christian too. And they led them to the Lord. They went home, told their wife, said, you know, I did something today I've never done before. And she said, what's that? I led a person to Jesus Christ. And she said, you know, the strangest thing, I was down at the shopping center and the lady said to me, where are you from? And I said, Jerusalem. She said, I heard at Jerusalem they had a church. They had a new religion, something about Christians, Joel. And I began to explain it to her. And it seemed as if the Holy Spirit of God convicted her life. And she began to weep and she said, oh, I wish I were a Christian. And she said, I led her to Jesus. And they said, you know, this is better than being at home. And they became avid soul winners for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God wants us to fly. God wants us to do something that we were born to do, but somehow we'd rather stay in the soft nest. We'd rather stay where it's comfortable and let somebody else feed us. But God wants you to learn that you can do it yourself. God wants you to learn that you can have more power. He said, in greater things than these shall you do. I think about what the Lord said us in that verse I read a while ago. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word there literally means exchange their strength. Did you know His strength is made perfect in weakness? And did you realize that we can literally exchange our weakness for His strength? That's what it means. They that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They'll find out they can fly when they didn't think they could before. They can find out that there's a blessing to winning souls. They'll find out there's a blessing on visitation. Find out it's a blessing to being a bus pastor or singing in the choir or helping as an usher or working out on a parking lot. God bless those men. I came in this morning. I don't know what the temperature is now, but this morning early it was about 19 degrees, I think. They were standing out there and they found they can do something more than they thought they could do. That's what God wants us to understand. Just a last little word. There's a quality of the Christians flying with eagles. Number one, I think we ought to have a sharp eyesight. Did you know an eagle, they say, has a sharp eyesight? The strange thing about an eagle, it has a telescopic eye, so to speak. From 5,000 miles, it can pick up a little movement in a bush down here. Unusual eyesight. And do you not remember what the Lord said? God says, I want you to be careful. I want you to watch over and over again in the Word of God. He says, watch, watch, watch. I believe God in these perilous times wants you to be in a Bible preaching fundamental church. I believe that. God wants you to be faithful. God wants you to be there Sunday night. God wants you to be there Wednesday night. God wants you to watch. Paul said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. God wants you to be careful and be in that. Then the thing that you need to do is to live an eagle. Not only has a sharp eyesight, and I'm having to abbreviate now, but listen, they live in the high altitudes. You'll never get an eagle flying down on the level of a chicken. You'll never get an eagle to come down and live with the chickens and grub in the ground. Oh no. They live in the lofty heights. They live above the world and its temptations and its trials. Doesn't feed on the carnage like a buzzard. Doesn't feed on the things that, you know, like a duck or a sparrow, those things that fly low. But an eagle's the highest flying bird that we know of today. And beloved, as Christians, we ought to be flying with the eagle, so to speak. or to get above this world. I don't mean above service to it. I don't mean above praying for it and working for it. I don't mean that. But as far as our Christian life, we're to get above this world. And God wants us to know and learn, brother, we can do things that we didn't think possible. God has equipped us to do everything that He's asked us to do. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Listen to me now. No. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If He speaks to your heart, listen to Him. How many of you are still in the soft little cozy nest? Everything at home is secured. Everything's all settled. You get dressed on Sunday morning, come to church Sunday morning, and you're just a little too busy then Sunday night and Wednesday night. Don't have much time for prayer, no time for visitation. You're just kind of cozy. I promise you, if a Christian, God's going to stir up your nest. It isn't that He doesn't love you, but it's because He does love you. God didn't create us to live in nest. God created us to soar on the lofty heights as an eagle. And I wonder how many of you say, oh dear God, I realize that while I ought to be teaching, I have need of milk. Oh God, teach me to fly with the eagles. Would you slip up your hand with me and mean it, and mean it. God, teach me to fly with the eagles. Slip up your hand with me. Will you do it? Slip it up. All right. God bless you. Many, many hands. I wonder how many of you say, Brother Hudson, I realize I've just been taking the easy way out, just trying to live cozy. And I want God to help me. Even if it means, now you be careful. God will never hurt you any more than He has to. He'll never hurt you, but that is ultimately for your good. Remember that. But you say, preacher, I want God to teach me to fly. I'm a Christian. But I haven't learned to fly yet. I haven't learned to use my own wings. I depend entirely upon somebody else. Oh, dear Jesus, teach me to fly. Would you slip your hand? Just hold it up for a minute. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Others, God bless you. God will teach you how to get your own food. God will teach you how to find food. God bless you. Your places in the Bible, God will teach you how to pray. God will teach you to fly. Things that you didn't know were possible. Others, slip up your hands. All right, now, how many of you say, Brother Hudson, I'm not a Christian, but I'm so concerned about my soul this morning. I'm not a Christian. I want you to pray for me. I need God's help. Would you slip up your hand? Let me pray for you. I'm getting ready to pray. Slip it up quickly now and pull it back down. God bless you. God bless you. Others, slip up your hand. Just let God know you're interested and concerned. Others, all right, now we're going to pray. Anyone else, quickly before we pray? Anyone, whatever need, just slip up your hand and say, I need prayer. Just slip it up. Anyone else? Our Father and our God, Lord, teach us to fly. And teach us to fly with the eagles. Help us to realize that we have potentials, Lord, that we've never really even exercised. Lord, we're like eagles running along the edge of a nest, wondering why it is that we can't fly when all we need to do is exercise a little faith. Dear God, help us. Help us, Lord. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, listen, unsaved people. I read an illustration one time that stayed in my mind through the years. It said a man was unsaved, but he'd been wanting to get saved and didn't know how. One night he dreamed. He dreamed that he was falling off of the edge of a precipice, a cliff. And as he was about to fall, his fingers had just worn out. He knew that he had to turn loose. And about the time he looked around or heard a movement, and he could see out of the corner of his eye a great big angel, big strong arms. And the angel said, do you want me to save you? Oh, yes, he said. Oh, yes, please save me, please save me. And said the angel dropped just a few feet below him and said, turn loose. And said he kept hanging on to that little rocky precipice. And he looked at that big angel, those big strong arms, and somehow he knew that angel wouldn't deceive him. And finally, with an act of desperation, he just turned loose. And he didn't fall 6 inches of that big angel had him in his arms. And he woke up with a start, and he said, oh, that's what Jesus wants to do for me. But I've got to turn loose. I've got to trust Him. And he was gloriously saved. The Lord's wanting you to turn loose this morning.